Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. This week, we're coming to you remotely from the comfort of our own homes to talk about how to make money as an artist. So sit back, relax, grab a beer, and let's jump into the conversation.
Tez, turn the music on.
Yeah, Dan, this is good practice. Oh, God.
Our first at-home episode.
I know. Club 937 remote edition.
Yeah. Virtual. Virtual 937. What's up, y'all? What's up?
What's up?
What's going on, dudes? How was y'all's day?
It was another day in the neighborhood, man. You know, it was fun. You know, it was full of action.
Let's
tell everyone where we are right now.
Starting.
I just said at home.
Yeah,
I'm at home. We're all at home.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for that update, Tez. That's real cool. Thanks for all that wisdom. Knowledge bond.
Oh, it hurts to laugh.
Oh my God.
I'm in my dining room on my dining room table, and my beautiful, lovely wife is making some noodles.
And I am in my super professional studio in my house, which is where we tried to record the last episode, or this episode, I guess. This is another
sausage fingers over here.
Another
hit the wrong button on the track and it never records.
Jay got that double tap finger.
Right, that's twice.
He got that natural pow pow, you know.
Yep.
He's gonna make sure he's gonna double click it, you know. Tap tap.
We'd be what, six in the hole by now, right?
You know, who's counting, huh? Who's counting, huh? Who, you know?
Me, I'm counting. There's six, right?
Yeah. This would be episode six. It would.
All right. Well, look, Tez.
Can Krista hear me?
No, man. I've got headphones on, man.
Oh, stupid. Duh, stupid question.
Yeah.
Tell us she gotta cater our first our first event. And by event, I mean the next time we get together and record.
I would say I'll be sure and pass that along to my massage therapist wife that she's now in the catering business as well. But if you want some noodles, Tez, come on down. We're going to hook you up, you know?
Oh, man. Good to see you guys. Well, all right. So what? Keeping in true fashion.
We don't have a guest brewery today because we're kind of taking this one on a different virtual path, but I did grab a beer I had in the fridge. This is a DC Brow Corruption IPA, the famous green label DC Brow, which anybody that knows DC area probably knows that brewery hand in hand because they're a powerhouse. So I got one of those.
Word. It's called Peabody Heights. Actually, the dude at the store, man, they have a section for, it's in Baltimore. They have a section for local breweries. Bro, we got a lot of work to do.
Oh, we're just scratching the surface. Right now, I'm still hitting up Buddy's Breweries, man. We have yet to even get down to the ones that we've never even heard of yet, you know? Well, last time when we were in Jay's studio before with the infamous double pound episode, we were rocking Seven Locks, right? We were rocking Seven Locks for that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Seven Locks, we're sorry we didn't capture it live, but we owe you one. So we'll have to get some Seven Locks another day.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I got an Oktoberfest. I got a Mars and...
I think I've heard of that. I think I've seen that label, that Peabody Heights. That sounds familiar. Well, it's pretty cool that I'm close to DC and I got the DC Brow and you're close to Baltimore, you know, and you got the Baltimore Peabody. So we're still representing, you know?
Yeah. I'm subdivision.
If anybody's interesting, I've got a delicious chai tea from Bigelow.
Are they local?
No, not even a little bit.
They're old school, bro. Old school, you know? Old school. OG. All right, so let's pop it. You ready?
Peabody, here we go.
All right, one, two, three, pop. I'm going to give it a seven off the break. I'm going to go seven off the break. 7 out of 21.
Straight seven. You can only get sevens. All right.
Here we go. Oof. Okay, the DC Brow IPA. I like IPAs. Personally, I'm into them. My taste buds go with the flavor. Tez, you would not be into this one, my dude. The thing you don't like about IPA, that bite, that bitter bite that it gives you, this one is hard. So I'm into it, but to drink the DC Brow IPA, you have to be, they call it the corruption, man. It's got a story on the can too about it. It's pretty cool. Here we go. Here, check this out. Corruption fact. In 1824, Speaker of the House Henry Clay forged a coalition that secured the White House for John Quincy Adams. In return, Adams named Clay as his Secretary of State in what became known as the Corrupt Bargain. So it's got some DC history on it, which is really cool.
You know what? I thought it was, and not brow, I thought it was bra. DC bra.
DC bra. Drinking that DC bra.
I always thought it was DC bra.
DC bra.
Yeah, bra.
Yeah, bra.
Yeah, bra. This Peabody, as keeping in theme with comparing everything to Miller Lite. I don't know. It's tough at the end. It's good at first sip. It's tough at the end, man. What was the last one? I think I did a Mars in first and second episode.
It was the Fest Beer.
The Fest Beer.
Fest Beer. It's not as smooth. It's not bad. It's not heavy. It's a good color. Definitely a good color. It's not like yeasty or heavy, hoppy. Like it definitely, but the end of it definitely goes real heavy on the lager part.
Got you.
And the other Marzen I had the first time, it wasn't really heavy in the lager, but this one, like you can taste it. You can taste it.
Hear that, Peabody? Y'all got to lighten y'all's load with those Marzens. Got to lighten it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sophisticated. I give them that. It definitely is. Like, you'll look at the can and be like, you know what? I'll try that. I'll try that this evening. I'm feeling festish. I'll give it a shot. Cool. Peabody, I'll give it a shot.
So let's backtrack. We're here to recover lost material from the last time from the last time we hung out. So I think Jay should fess up, bro. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so we tried recording this episode a couple weeks. Was it a couple weeks ago? Was it last week? I don't remember.
Last week?
Yeah, last week we tried. We got together at my house and we had a lovely conversation about how to make money as an artist. And it was great. It was a great conversation. Dan came in a skeptic, left a little bit more open-minded. Unfortunately, the entire conversation was lost because apparently I double-tapped the record button or something.
Of your fingers got in the way of the other one.
One of my fingers, which, you know, it happens. I got
you
little
went in two-fingered.
I got little Vienna sausages for fingers, so, you know. Things happen.
I was hitting the effect buttons so hard too. They finally gave me the effect buttons and I was just banging on the effects buttons, man. Y'all missed out. Sorry, world. Y'all missed out on my just onslaught of whatever whatever
we can ad lib. We can ad lib our sounds today. We don't even need to start.
We had fun though.
It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of buttons pressed. Jay did make burgers. I made burgers. Forgot about that.
Yeah. They're pretty good too.
They weren't bad. I used my Pampered Chef burger patty shaper.
Here we go. There you go. Pampered Chef. Looking for a sponsor.
We're getting nothing for that too.
I know. That's all right. Look,
that was a freebie.
I'm an old man now. I'm allowed to appreciate more sophisticated cooking wares.
Self-cleaning blender, y'all.
Self-cleaning blender. Yes.
It's a new thing. It's a new world.
You got to put the stuff in water.
Hey, man, blenders are hard to clean, man. Like, you know, cleaning a blender is sketchy. You know, that's a sketchy job. So I do.
Part.
I do understand that for sure.
Even when it's unplugged, I still be wary to put my hand in there.
So I had some takeaways from the last conversation. Jay, you're going to need to kind of fill in the gaps as far as the who, what, where, and when, right?
Got it.
But I do remember you talking about Patreon.
Yes.
Was a name that I took away with me. So we need to mention something about Patreon. And then the other one I remembered you talking about really was NFTs.
Yes.
Which is kind of a buzzworthy word right now because I just heard Kanye, who I'm a fan of Kanye. You can hate Kanye if you want. And I think that's part of the deal is to hate Kanye, but I like him. But he is against NFTs because he went on some typical Kanye rant about it, saying he was like, he's making real products for real people for real money or whatever. And he was like, not doing the NFTs at this time. So you could touch on that too.
Yeah. The NFT thing. Yeah. There's a lot of people. It seems like everybody is either at one extreme or the other, if you have any understanding of what an NFT is at all.
What is it? Tell us what it is.
So an NFT stands for non-fungible token, and non-fungible means it is not
real.
Well, no, it's real. It's, you can't duplicate it. You can't, it's not like, what's the word? Basically it's a unique thing. And what it is, it's a token that is all, God, it's so hard to explain.
Sounds like Bitcoin. Is it like Bitcoin?
It's not like Bitcoin, but it is paid for with cryptocurrency. All of the transactions are done, usually not in Bitcoin. Most NFTs are done with Ethereum, which is another big point of controversy because Ethereum takes a lot more resources to create, and it's a little bit worse for the environment because of all the energy that it requires, and it's a whole thing. NFTs in general are basically like, it's like selling kind of digital art almost. It's not selling the art itself, it's selling like a certificate of ownership.
So as an artist trying to make money,
yes,
if you make NFTs, can you spend them, or do you trade them, or what's like, how do you use them?
Yeah, you don't spend them, but you can trade them. You can trade them. You can sell them. Whoever creates the original version of the NFT, whoever mints the piece of artwork, because that's the kind of the process. You create a piece of art, you mint it using a certain platform, and then you can sell the NFT, and you can actually set rules. If you're the original creator of the art, you can set rules that say, like, every time that this NFT is traded or sold, the original creator gets like a 20% cut. So it can actually be like a recurring revenue for the original artist.
But the revenue is going to be in dollars, or what's the revenue?
It's going to be in cryptocurrency, usually Ethereum. So the actual value depends on the value of that cryptocurrency at the time. So that can go up and down. So that's kind of a downside or an upside, depending on the market, you know.
Yeah. But then if you get in, if it's at a good time, then you can trade your Ethereums, right, for cash. Can't you?
You can trade cryptocurrency for cash. Absolutely. So you could NFT, right, at a low price. You could wait for it to build up. You could sell that NFT, and then you can trade in, you know, the cryptocurrency that you got from that sale into dollars. You know, I know a guy who literally became a millionaire by doing this, but yeah.
What was his NFT?
I don't remember. There's a whole bunch of things. Like, the NFT is weird. It's a brand new technology. There's still a lot to figure out. And it's one of those things where if my personal belief is that the technology is really exciting and the potential for it is really awesome. Like, they're talking about, you know, in, you know, years to come, the NFT technology can be used to buy actual things. Like, it can be used for buying cars and houses. Like, all of the contract work can be done via NFT.
Yeah, well, like that one Bama that got a bunch of Bitcoin early on and like found a place to buy a Lamborghini with Bitcoin and found a place to buy a place in Malibu or whatever with Bitcoin. And like, he's basically living his best life based on early Bitcoin stocks, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a little bit different than that because, like I said, NFT is not Bitcoin and it's not Ethereum. It's not an actual cryptocurrency. What it is, it's kind of a decentralized way of verifying ownership. So the way that the blockchain works is that you have this network of hundreds, thousands of computers that are basically reviewing all of these numbers and all of these transactions at one given point. And if one of those computers is like, hey, this number doesn't add up with this number, then they know something screwy happened, and they know that some sort of fraud happened.
Dude, that sounds like the Matrix, man.
Yeah, kind of.
That sounds like Agent Smith. Yeah.
I think we need to bring this back to a more basic level to make how you make money off of this.
Like I say that's that's a hard way to make money as an artist, though. So what else can an artist do to make money?
So we've got Patreon. We've talked about Patreon, which is basically a way to set up some sort of like subscription model for your followers or for your audience, right? And based on whatever subscription model you have or based on what tier you're at, you get access to certain perks. So let's say a musician, you know, for example, since we're all musicians here, you know, we're in a band and we decide to set up a Patreon, and we've got like a $2 a month tier, a $5 a month tier, and a $25 a month tier. Right. A $2 a month tier, you basically get nothing except a, hey, thanks for supporting us. Right. This is just for the people who like, they don't really want anything from us, but they want to give us a little bit extra because they enjoy what we do. $5 a month tier. Let's say you get access to, I don't know, some B-sides that never made it onto the record or something, you know, maybe a jam session that we did in the studio that just never made it to the record, whatever it is. $25 a month tier. We set up a live stream at one of our band practices or one of our studio sessions, and people can actually join this live stream and watch us record an album or watch us practice or maybe just sit down and have a conversation with the band via live stream. You know,
$25 a month, I'll play whatever you want. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
you want some Bee Gees? Yeah, you want some Bee Gees? You want some Rolling Stones? You want some ABBA? I got you, man. I'll play it.
Yeah, but
we got to get shifty with the ideas. Exactly. Start let them watch us bake.
So I'm kind of thinking it's almost like a backstage pass, you know, like
almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, I think so.
But we gotta be backstage pass worthy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You got to have a following to make money on it. But still, especially like now with COVID, like, dude, I'm itching to go to live shows so bad. I had tickets for Fu Manchu for March. That's already canceled. I got one more show maybe in March I'm gonna get to go to if it comes around, but you know, like, I not only do I want to see music again, but I also want to help, you know, support the artists that I love again. So I think in days like now, you know, absolutely Patreon would be a great way for artists to still keep their fans involved.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really, I mean, I think that's the one that when we were talking before that I was saying was like OnlyFans for rock bands.
Yeah, sort of.
What I said, right?
But like even like for my YouTube channel. So I don't have a Patreon, but YouTube has YouTube memberships, which is essentially the same thing. The only reason why I do this instead of Patreon is because the way my brain works, it's much easier to just do everything I can on one platform instead of having to manage a whole bunch of different stuff. But I, you know, with my, you know, channel memberships, people who are members of my channel, I have a monthly interview series that I do on my channel where I, you know, interview people in the filmmaking industry. And I cut that down to about a 20-minute video that goes out to the general public. But those conversations are generally about an hour long, and my channel members get access to that full hour interview. Yeah. So they get access to like the uncut videos, or, you know, maybe at the end of the month, I'll put together just like a blooper reel of all the screw ups that happen in my videos, which there's a lot of them. And, you know, so I'll put together a blooper reel and release that. Or there's, you know, monthly members only live streams that people can get a hold of. And it's, you know, for these people that pay, you know, a certain amount of money a month, and they get access to all this bonus stuff.
And that's dollars, right? Like that's PayPal, that's just, or
that's
whatever.
Just dollars. Yeah, that's dollars.
Dollar sounds good, man.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So the big thing you wanted to put out there, the big I don't know, the takeaway from this episode would be that there's a lot of new technology that will help artists make money, like compared to the good old days that we're always talking about, like, you know, selling t-shirts at shows and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
there's
a lot more options. Like, you know, taking it back to the good old days when we were doing our thing, you know, we had very few options as far as making money. It was, you know, we had to sell tickets to shows.
Yeah, it was lugging a box of t-shirts around.
Right. We had to pre-purchase t-shirts. We had to pre-burn CDs, you know, we had to sell tickets, and we had to get people to the shows in order to buy those t-shirts and buy those CDs. And we sucked at that because we, like, half the time we're like, yeah, you can have a CD. Like, you know how many times we just gave shit away instead of selling it?
All the time, dude.
all the time. Yeah. We just gave stuff away. Yeah. So it was, you know, but now, you know, just looking at the merch, right? Look at the merch. Like, yeah, if we were going to play a show, we'd still want to have t-shirts printed out and brought to the show. Sure. But unlike back then, at a show is not the only place where we can sell merch now. You know, there's places like Spreadshop, which is kind of a big merch place now, where you upload designs, you figure out what kind of merchandise you want to put those designs on. So you can do like sweatpants, hoodies, t-shirts, hats, whatever. And people can go online, buy it, and Spreadshop will print the design on the shirt. They'll package it up. They'll ship it to you. They take a cut, you know, obviously. And it's not even a cut. It's not a percentage cut. They have a certain amount and it's very transparent. They tell you how much. So like a t-shirt, you're going to be paying, depending on what kind of t-shirt you get, let's say you're going to pay $10, right? And you know, right off the bat, you're going to be paying $10 every time somebody buys a t-shirt. That is your cost for creating this t-shirt. What you actually make, you basically set your profit margin. So it's
$10 cost. So if we want to sell them for 20,
you make,
then we're
going to
make $10. Yep. Got you.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I did something like that with a company called Custom Ink. They got an octopus logo.
Yeah, Custom Ink.
Yeah, I know that name because they email me constantly since I made an order with them.
Yeah.
But I ordered like a hoodie or something. I think I ordered a Fu Manchu hoodie, funny enough, through the website. It like took me to their online store, picked the color hoodie I want. They sent it out to me and then they've been emailing me ever since. So that's actually really, really cool for not having to shell out big money to place an order and then worry about shipping it out. Like, if all that is taken care of for you, it gives you a lot more time to focus on your art. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's even more important now because, like, really, I think in today's day and age, and this is something we didn't talk about last time, but it's something I've been thinking about, like, especially with something like music, people aren't really buying CDs anymore, you know? Like, there's people who are collectors who are buying vinyl, you know, as a collector's thing, but nobody's buying CDs to listen to. They're all streaming from Spotify and stuff like that. And yeah, you can get a cut off of Spotify, but it's like pennies, you know, every time somebody streams your stuff. So you need another way to make money if you're going to be making money as a band.
Yo, I set up a bank account for the 10 Roars once we went live, you know, I like put it on Spotify and whatever, and I have still yet to see a cent in the bank account. I mean, I know it only loads up every couple months, like you gotta give it time. It's not instant. It's not like someone downloads your song and you get paid same day. Like, it takes time for them to shell out to you, but I check the account every now and again, waiting to see something in. But I do get to see like data, you know, like how many people streamed it. And Apple is really slow. Apple, I haven't seen nothing yet. They didn't give me any numbers. But Spotify is pretty slick as far as telling you how many people listened to the song. So that's really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I just saw something on, it was a YouTube video of a YouTube video. This dude was talking about, he put a video up and he was just going through the numbers and what he's done so far. And I mean, from what he did, man, as long as you get people to view your shit, man, you make a pretty good amount of money putting up videos on YouTube.
Yeah, so YouTube can be a great revenue source. I mean, it's the primary revenue source that I have for my business. And there's a couple different ways to make money with YouTube. There's AdSense, which is kind of the first way that people do it, which is you get a cut of the ad revenue based on how many views you get. Now, in order to qualify for that program, you need 1,000 subscribers and you need 4,000 watch hours in a 1 year period of time. And once you get that, you qualify for the partner program, as long as you're not like violating any community guidelines or anything like that. And so once that happens, anytime somebody watches an ad before or during or after your YouTube video, you get a cut of that ad revenue. On top of that, as part of the partner program, you also get a cut of the YouTube premium revenue. So like people who are watching your videos are part of YouTube premium, which allows you to watch YouTube without any ads, which I highly recommend, by the way. They'll look at how many viewers that watched your videos that have YouTube premium. They'll give you a cut of that YouTube premium revenue as well. So that's the first part of it, the YouTube partner program. Then at a certain point, once your audience gets to a certain size, I don't remember what size it is, you get YouTube memberships, which is what I talked about, which is kind of like the built-in Patreon type thing on YouTube. And that allows you to do, you know, the different tiers and unlock certain perks for your audience and whatnot. But then the big thing that you can get is once your channel starts really growing, you become attractive to brands. And when you become attractive to brands, now all of a sudden they want to pay you to mention their product in your videos. And the bigger your channel gets, the more money you can make from that. Like the more you can charge. So you can, and you can do it one of two ways. You can be like, okay, I'll do like a 30 to 60 second little thing about your product in the middle of my video somewhere, or at the end of my video, or at the beginning of my video. Or you can do a dedicated video where the entire video is about that product.
For more money.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah, for more money. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So you're living it, man. So like on a good month and a bad month, what are you bringing in just on your followers and your memberships and stuff from YouTube?
Make it tell that man to just discuss his.
I mean, I'm gonna say you don't gotta be totally
to
straight.
Set G up for get riled.
No, but I mean,
bro,
look,
what you doing,
look,
man?
I'm learning, man. I'm learning is what I'm doing. So like just a round number. Like, are you talking like on a bad month you're making $100 and on a good month you're making $1,000, or is it more or is it less
so
or what?
So for 2022 right now, the minimum I'm going to make, and this is if I get no additional brand, because I have a contract right now with a brand that is paying me every month to do 2 30- to 60-second little blurbs about them every month. Right. So if I got no other brand deals that month, and for whatever reason, I made zero money from YouTube, then I would be making a minimum of $3,200 a month.
Damn,
but
that's not bad, y'all. That's right. Not too bad.
But I am generally making money from YouTube, and I generally have one or two other brand deals going on. So I could be making anywhere up to $7,000 a month.
Wow. That's an income, man. That's good. That's good money right there, man. That's a lot of brake jobs. You know what I mean?
It's possible. But it's a lot of work.
A lot of signs.
There's a lot of signs, right? Yeah, but it's a lot of work, you know? I mean, you're talking for every single one of these videos, the brand deals are the biggest amount of work. Because you got to think, like, especially on a dedicated video where the entire video is about a product, I not only have to figure out a way to make a video that doesn't sound too much like a commercial. So it's like engaging to my audience. My audience
content,
is actually,
yeah, good, yeah, yeah,
it's,
good
it's
content.
It's got to be good content. I've got to script it. I've got to do all the pre-production stuff. I've got to, you know, film the thing. I've got to edit the thing. I've got to send it off for approval. I got to make any revisions that the brand wants me to make. And I got to get all that done by the time that the contract says it needs to be done. So it's a lot of work, but you know, it does pay off.
Well, it sounds like a business.
It is.
And I think the biggest takeaway, like, all right, I gave you a whole bunch of shit because you said how to make money as an artist. And I was like, you can't make money as an artist, you know, like you make art as an artist, you know, that was kind of like my pushback against it.
Right.
But I remember talking to you the time before when we thought we was recording that, you know, you were basically hoping you was going to get to a point where you could. Yeah, I ain't joning. I'm just stating facts, you know? Yeah. I'm just stating
taking
facts.
You're taking them shots, though.
Right. Well, here's where I'm at.
I can take it.
All right. Yeah, you can take it, man. It's all good. So it's all love. So,
because, I mean, there, you know, I just had this question, but, you know, I asked the same question the last time when we thought we was recording, when you accidentally pushed the same button twice with your fat ass fingers recording, but
my fingers have lost weight, goddammit.
So somewhere after those 3 seconds that we did record, I remember thinking that all right, I'm done. I remember Jay
dab,
saying
jab, jab, jab.
It's a bar. This is a bar, Tez. It's a bar right there. Jay was talking about getting to the point in his career someday that he could hire people to handle more of the business aspect of it so he could focus more on the art and on the craft.
Yep.
And yeah, like that was like, that's like a legit, whatever, 1 year, 5 year goal of his or something. Right. So I was like thinking about it. I was like, man, that sounds a lot like my shop, my business. You know, I've got guys in the shop working on cars and I've got guys up front selling jobs and I got guys taking money for gas. And I'm the guy that's like trying to think on how to make the place bigger and more. I'm working on the business, not in the business, right?
Right.
So my big takeaway though is like, I guess we're both kind of saying the truth in our own separate ways as far as like, I think an artist really just wants to do art and doesn't want to worry about the money side of it. But to make money as an artist, it still takes a business platform, a business setup. You know, you have to have some kind of savvy to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, if you think about like any artist out there, I mean, you look at a painter, most painters and photographers, they've got people who are setting up the galleries for them. They've got people who are setting all that stuff up for them, but like they didn't get there automatically. There was a time when they were doing all that stuff themselves. And I think as an artist, and that's kind of the, like, you can make money as an artist, but in the beginning, you have to think of yourself, you know, you do have to treat it like a business. And like, it's like just this thing that you kind of have to suffer through until you can hire somebody to take care of the crap that you don't want to deal with, you know? And like you said, like there's going to be a day when I've got somebody answering those emails and negotiating those brand deals for me. And there's going to be somebody who's watching the back end of YouTube and figuring out what's working and what's not, and kind of come to me with like, hey, this isn't working. Let's try and figure it out. So all I can do, you know, all I have to do is focus on making the video.
Yeah.
I just want to like script and plan and shoot the video and maybe even pass off the editing to somebody. You know, I just want to, my ultimate goal would be, and this is like way down the road, but I would love to have like me and like three or four other guys, and our only job is to wake up in the morning and be like, what do you want to make today? And it everything would be like some sort of skit or short film or something artistic, you know, something that is just pure art. And then we'll have another team of like three guys or girls, you know, it's the royal guys, you know, whatever, you know, following us around with cameras, documenting all that stuff for the YouTube channel and just like kind of documenting the process of us creating art and releasing that like documentary style video onto the YouTube channel to be followed up by this piece of art that we made. And that way I don't have to worry about the YouTube side of things. I just got to worry about making art.
Yeah.
I would love to have that. But right now I don't have that kind of money. You know, I got kids to feed, you know,
it takes time, man.
It takes time. Yeah. So in the beginning, you got to treat yourself like a business if you want to make enough money to hire somebody to worry about the business later on.
I personally think at some point it definitely heads in the direction of becoming a business, whether you're a band, musician, whatever, because, you know, major bands, first of all, you're paying taxes as a business. Once some numbers start hitting you different, you're a business, bro. But the goal, like you said, is to get yourself to a point where you'd worry about nothing but performing, or you worry about nothing but, you know, selling your clothes or, you know, selling your art, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you're selling something, you're a business.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is. Like, these are just different levels of you selling something. At some point, you have to say you're trying to have people go home with something of yours to keep your name in their mouth, to stay memorable to these people.
Well, you know, what keeps popping in my head listening to all this is I think it also depends on what success you want to obtain. What I'm thinking of, okay, I'm thinking of two tattoo artists, probably my two favorite tattoo artists, and for sure, half of my body is covered in artwork from these two people, and they're very, very different people. I love them both equally, you know, but they have very different business profiles, and so one of them is Matt Rinks in Ellicott City in Ghost Town, and he took it upon himself to open up his own tattoo shop, kind of hiding out there, and doesn't promote it, doesn't do social media, just sticks with word of mouth, old school. I mean, he's an old school tattooist. He's been at it for a lot of decades, but he
Ghost Town is definitely on IG, bro.
Yeah, but not much, man. Let me finish my spiel, then I'm done. He is very minimalist when it comes to exposing himself, and he just goes with what, you know, word of mouth, and people hear his name or stop by the shop and they come in and he tattoos him, man, and he's booked up pretty good. I mean, most of the time his books are pretty full. Then you go to my other boy, Robbie Latos, at Damascus, and he has no business sense whatsoever. All he did was, he's a really, really sick artist, and he worked really, really hard on his craft, and he hired somebody to manage him, and that dude is like just humongous now in the tattoo world, as far as he's got really good talent and he has a really good management behind him, and sky's the limit. The dude just basically blows up wherever he goes, and people travel all over the world to come to Damascus, Maryland to get tattooed by Robbie, you know? So I think it just depends on the level of success that you want as an artist. Maybe you just want to have your own little spot and do your own thing and not worry about the hubbub, or maybe you want to travel the world and, you know, have and push your art to as many people as you can. That's a decision of the artist.
Yeah. And maybe you don't want either of those things, you know, like maybe you just want to do your thing. You know, and you don't care about making money, or if people see it, you just want to create for the sake of creating, and you're just
that's
doing
me.
It for that's yourself.
Me. That's me right there. Yeah, that's totally me right there. Yeah.
But, you know, in that case, you don't need to worry about any of this, and you can stop listening to this podcast right now. But
I'm on the podcast,
but please don't,
man. You know,
but please. But
I don't know any musician.
I don't either.
What if you're making clothes, but you don't care about nobody seeing your clothes, then what the fuck is you making clothes for?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, these people are few and far between, and it's most likely going to be somebody who just, you know, paints just for fun. And
how you know if it's good? You wrote a song, but you don't want nobody to hear it? How you know the song?
Maybe
rhyme?
You don't care. I don't know. Either way, the point that I'm trying to get to is you either got to figure out a way to suffer through the managing the business part until you can hire somebody to manage the business for you, or you got to figure out a way to make money that leaves you enough time to do your art as a hobby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to make money from your art. You know, it's not like you don't have to, but you know, some people just don't want to. Some people think that making money from your art is going to suck the art out of the art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I tend to agree with that, man.
I can understand that. I understand that, but I also feel that, make sure I word this right, once you start heading in a certain direction with your art, if you want it to be out there, then I think that because there's money on the line, you have no choice but to sell it or do whatever the case. Because then at some point, like, so you making music, right? It's music. We're musicians. Right, we're making music. We're putting all this stuff out. We're doing all this, making CDs, doing all that. Right, but then we have all this stuff. So then, what do we just sit with it? It's good. People like it. Everybody wants it. But we're just gonna sit on it? No. Like, obviously, the next goal is to sell it, and make some money. Like, it's a given. It's what's supposed to happen next.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there's two ways to attack that. So let's just take my personal example with doing, you know, freelance work, right? Freelance work isn't something that I necessarily go after, right? I don't like go and like hit up companies and be like, hey, let me make a video for you. I focus solely on the YouTube thing and building my channel up to a point where I want it to be. And, you know, I've got my goal. But if somebody likes my stuff and they're like, you know, we're filming this video and we want you as an editor, I may say yes to that because it's a project that I really want to do. But I'm not going to turn around and, just because I got that one opportunity to do a freelance project, I'm not going to turn around and go seek out more freelance work. Like, as an artist, if people start seeing your stuff, if you're like an awesome photographer, right, and you start posting your stuff on Instagram and somebody notices it and they're like, and they see this one picture and they're like, hey, can I buy a print of this? Like, you can be like, yeah, sure. And you can sell that one print, but not necessarily advertise that you're selling prints and not necessarily, you know, make that a part of your business. It can just be like this one time thing, or just whenever somebody hits you up and asks you for it.
Yeah. But at some point, it still went to where it became something you sold or whatever the case may be. You understand what I'm saying? Well, like it kind of always leads to that.
I see what you're saying, but like, how many CDs did we give away when we were DeNova?
How many CDs did we sell when we were DeNova?
Right, but like, why would we even give a CD away if we were trying to make any money doing it?
Not to say that the money is the goal, but if there's money to come with the exposure, then you'll be a fool not to take it, not to seek that avenue.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're denying money, then you might want to think twice about what you're doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody's in this, man. You know, I'm gonna be a free artist, bro. I'm doing everything for free.
Yeah, but
don't you dare try to pay me.
But I do stick by my story as far as like, even with the 10 roars, like I'm not putting it out with the intentions of making a bunch of money on it. I'm only putting it out with the intentions of people listening to it. Yeah, I just want people to hear it. If I make money along the way,
it's just going to come. You know? The millions are just going to come.
Yeah.
If the platinum records are just going to come.
Yeah, if the millions roll in, I'll be sure to scoop them up. Yeah. But until then, check out the music, you know? Yeah, like, for sure.
Oh, man. I feel you. I'm with it. I just think that, like, there's definitely, it'd just be crazy to do all this for there not to be some sort of bigger goal at the end, if you will. Something at the end of the rainbow. We're doing this for something.
Well, I think that is the true question of the artist. Like, I paint, right? Everybody, you guys know that I've been painting my whole life, right? I did huge, huge, gigantic time investing paintings when my wife was pregnant, just because I needed to do something. I just needed to get it out. So it was never to make any money or to push my product or any of that. It was just because it's something I feel like I needed to do. So I think that's where artists need to dig deep. Like, are you doing this to make a living doing it, or are you doing it just because you got to get your rocks off? And neither answer is right or wrong. Right. It's just, you need to build your business around your goals, you know, set your own goals, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that is the first question. Like, why am I doing this? What is my goal? You know, is my goal just to be able to do this, maybe make a little bit of money here and there? Or is it that, like, this is the only thing I want to be doing? Like, the reason why YouTube is my business is because making videos is the only thing that I want to be doing right now. It's like, I made that first video and I was like, dude, it felt like the day I wrote my first song. It was like, this is what I need to be doing. And I've spent so many years working jobs that I knew I didn't want to be doing in the long run, that I was like, this is it. It's now or never. I gotta take the leap now and do everything I can.
Well, dude, I can't wait to see the video you do for the 10 roars, man. Plug, plug, plug. Yeah.
it'll happen.
All right. Well, look, so that's pretty good. That's a pretty good closer right there. What else y'all want to talk about?
Can you make money off of SoundCloud?
Yeah, you can make money off SoundCloud. You just got to tattoo your face and...
not like everybody else.
Yeah, just be a poser and tattoo your face, and you can make a whole bunch of money on SoundCloud.
Say yeah bam, at the bam, end bam, of your lines.
G-Wagon, 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 G-Wagon up.
Call yourself Lil something.
Lil Bo Peep.
The answer is yes, you can. Okay. But you gotta be part of their pro unlimited plan, which is $12 a month if you pay yearly.
So you gotta spend $12 a month to make money on SoundCloud.
Yes.
That's not a bad deal. So how much are you gonna make?
I guess
depends on how many streams you got.
At least enough to cancel out that $12.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you will make a whopping 14.
Yeah.
You won't have it going on.
You at least got to make your money back. So what about, because there's got to be more than just YouTube out there for visual art. What about visual art?
What do you mean by visual? Like
painting,
photography, painting, stuff like that.
Fashion, stuff like that. Yeah.
So you still got Patreon. Patreon you can do across all kinds of art.
Okay.
You can do.
Is an NFT a good idea for artists, like art like that?
Yeah. Like, so one of my friends is a photographer. He's also a music producer, and he actually will take his photos. Like, he'll shoot a photo and he'll create like a little like 1 minute long thing where it's like the photo, but it's actually a video because it's got like a soundscape to go along with the photo. and he sells that as an NFT. Okay. So yeah, you can do stuff like that. A lot of NFT stuff is image based. There's this one guy, I can't remember his actual name, but on Instagram, his name is Beeple. And he, yeah, Beeple Crap, I think is his Instagram name.
As he tells his eyebrows from across the state. I can see you from here. Beeple. Take yourself seriously, man. At least get a middle name or a last name or something, man. Beeple. It's like that beeper from, what's the name? Muppets, yeah? That beep, yeah. Beep. Yeah, no. Beep, beep, beep.
But sorry, no joke. This, oh my God. This dude is one of the most talented 3D artists I have ever seen. Basically what he does, he creates a piece of like 3D art in Blender. He's created one every single day, and he posts it up on his Instagram every single day. And he's done this for like, I don't know, a year or two now. I think he's up to like 500 something days in a row, hasn't missed a day, which is just insane. But he sold like a year's worth of these, like the first year of dailies as NFTs for like something like $60 million.
Okay. Well, all right, people.
Yeah.
For $60 million, man, you can at least make it 3Deeple. You know, 3Deeple is a cool name. You know, like yeah, 3Deeple, like that works. Beats. Yeah, take notes, people. Take notes, bro.
$69 million. $69 million.
Ooh, what? Did you hear that one?
What'd you say? What?
3BPO.
That's BPO. Pretty cool. I like that. 3BPO. That's a cool name, you know? But man, I don't know. If I catch his people on the street, man, I might show him something, you know? But I'm not going to take any of his crypto money, though.
He's cool. He's a total, like, total smart ass. Like if he catches you on a bad day, you're probably going to want to hit him in the face because he just is just an unapologetic asshole, but he's also really cool.
Hey,
yeah, he's really cool, and he's a super talented artist.
Cheers to Beeple.
Cheers to Beeple, Beeple, man.
Man. Yeah, to Beeple, man.
3 beats.
Yeah,
my man. 3 beats.
Get it, bro. Here's to the next $69 million or whatever you're gonna make.
There you go. There you go.
I follow a lot of artists, painters and stuff on mostly on social media, Instagram, and then they'll have like a link to their online store where you can buy prints and you can buy books and you know whatever they're putting out there. So I mean, I think visual art, there's still a way to make money, but I think to really impress people, I still think it's about it's a live show. It's about building your own gallery and having people coming out there to see your paintings in person. Because you know, you can see them in HD and they'll look great, but if you see them in person, it'll be like, you know, wow. You know? Yeah.
And I think even more important than that, even in, like, especially in this day and age with like social media and all that stuff, like the barrier between artist and audience is so much narrower than it used to be. It's so much easier to get the attention of your favorite artist and get them to like respond to you on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. So I think even more than like the live show and seeing it in person is like, I think if you really, really want to make money as an artist, the best way to do that is always going to be, and this has been true since the beginning, but it has always been to find a way to monetize your audience, to find ways for your audience to support you. And whether that's selling something, but the big thing now is allowing them into what they view as an exclusive community. And I think if you find a way to build a community around your art and have kind of more of a personal connection with your audience, that's really going to kind of draw the line between whether or not you're going to make a living as an artist or not. Like, you have to find a way to really connect with the audience. It's not just about like, here's my art, I hope you think it's good. Like, you have to find a way to connect with the audience on a more personal level. And I think that the connection is really the most important thing right now.
Dude, I've gotten like, it's funny you mentioned that. Like, I've commented on some famous people's Instagram posts, you know?
Yeah.
And actually gotten like likes and like little thank you comments from them before, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like amazing. It was such a bit, like the three that come to mind, man, that I can think off the top of my head is Courtney Love thanked me for a comment, you know? Which, I mean, when I was a little kid, like if Courtney Love would even look at me, I'd die, you know? Because she was huge. And Jenna Jameson, which, son, you know, Jenna Jameson was like how I survived summer high school, you know? Right. so thank you to Jenna Jameson and HR from Bad Brains, singer of Bad Brains. I sent him a picture of Zia wearing a Bad Brains shirt, and he like hit me back. You know, and I was like, man, that's so cool. Like, it's so cool. Like, people that I like greatly admire, you can just kind of hit them up. And if you're lucky, they might hit you back. And that's like, that's beautiful now, man. Like, that's,
wait, didn't Jameson hit you back?
Yeah, she just said like a thanks or something, because I think she sent some kind of post about like, this is her life now, given her past, you know, because she's like Jewish and vegan and has kids and is sober and whatever, you know, like she moved on, right? Past the old wildlife. And I like commented on her post and I was like, man, you know, like huge fan from back in the day, but it's really cool to see that you found, you know, a new way of thinking and living your life and that you look good. And she just said like, thanks, heart or whatever, you know, like, but it was cool. You know, I was like, wow, you know, I mean, it was better than getting a Polaroid back in the day or whatever. That
autograph.
You know,
an autograph 8x10.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A good old gloss.
It was way more personal. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
Back, God, how long ago is this? Right after Char and I broke up, I was like coming out of the other end of it, right? Like I was starting to feel a little bit better, starting to like, you know, I was doing all right. I was meeting somebody for coffee and I was sitting in the car waiting for them to show up. And I just like on a whim, I like popped open my phone and hopped on Facebook and I sent a Facebook message to Burt McCracken, singer of The Used, for those of you who don't know.
Oh man. Oh, man.
And it was just like, hey, I don't expect you to respond to this. I just wanted to say like,
I love you, man.
No, it wasn't like I love you. It was like, look, I've been through some rough stuff in my life. And every time I've been going through it, like The Used has always been my first go-to. Like you inspired me to pick up a microphone. I just wanted to say thank you. I didn't expect it. 2 days later, I get a notification. This is before he deleted all his social media. But he hit me back and he was like, hey, sounds like we got a lot in common. Glad I could help. And I was like,
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. Yeah, man. Like, that's your boy. That's your, yeah. That voice got you through some really hard times of your life, man.
Yeah, man.
So that's cool that he just took a time out to hit you up, man. Like, I think that's super cool. Super
yeah,
cool.
That's the, and I mean, I've
one of those stories.
I've been on the other end of that too, where like people have hit me up, like, and I'm a, you know, compared to that, I'm a nobody, you know, like, but
yeah. I'm trying to be the button. Sorry, I'm trying to be the button.
No, but wait. Like I've had people like hit me up and like, you know, just to say that they really enjoy my videos and that they appreciate and like they've learned a lot from me and I've given them the confidence to go out and like they're about to shoot their first commercial video and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just respond to it because that's like my thing is I always try and respond to every message and like I hit it back and I'll get a response like, oh, my God, I didn't expect you to reply and blah. Like I made their day just by replying to their message and like, but the that goes back to it is like, if I didn't have that drive to build that personal connection with my audience, I don't think I'd be where I am today on the business side. I think it's super important.
Wait, Tez, backtracking, but Tez, you never hit up anybody famous on Instagram yet?
Oh, I have.
So who'd you holler at?
Lee John from Seven Dust.
Did he say anything back?
No.
What?
Nah.
Well, that's 15 years ago anyways, bro. Keep going.
I hit up, I hit up
Two
a
chains.
UFC fighter. Nah. I hit up a UFC fighter. UFC fighter. I can't remember who it was. Because the fight that they did, man, it was an amazing fight. It was a crazy fight.
Right.
And I was like, man, you know, huge fan, man. That was an awesome fight. Like, it went the distance, man. You know, you guys gave it your all, blah, blah, blah. This and the third, nothing.
Dang. All right, Tez, your homework is you got to get...
I'm over it, bro.
Nah, dude,
I'm over it.
Don't give up. You got to get a response from...
Joe texts me back, so that's cool.
Man,
I'm good.
Yeah, but that's homies there, man. That's homies, man. That's different, dude.
Man, look, people been letting me down since elementary school,
man,
bro.
Give me your password for your Instagram. I'll start hollering at everybody, dude. I'll see what I can find, dude.
I'm solid. I don't want to have to make nobody be my friend. It's just crazy. Nah, I'm good. They don't want to. It was just some, you know, like Seven Dust still, they still banging, man. They still putting out good songs. You know, it's the Seven Dust way.
Dude, that, yeah, Seven Dust, they're still doing it, man. I dig that, whatever. But that first, the first record, the first one with Terminator on it.
Yeah, that joint is like, I
played that record a couple of months ago and I was like freaking out in the truck, man. I was like banging around the truck. I was like, yo, dump, 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 dump. I was like, man, oh, these guys are sick. And then they got a little bit more commercialized and kind of settled down and, you know, they got softer and stuff. And I dig the soft stuff too, but that first record, man.
There.
Yeah. God, dude, man.
They one thing about it, man, is their work. I don't mean this in a negative way. It sounds the same, but it's definitely what you expect of Seven Dust. Like you're not halfway in with Seven Dust.
Yeah.
You either like them or you don't.
Yeah.
And you know what you're gonna get on their albums, and they still smashing, man.
Dude, it's there's an acquired taste to a band that can kind of sound the same throughout their career. Like they can go decades of perfecting one sound, you know? Like when you think about, even if you think about like Slayer, man, like Slayer hasn't progressed much since the 80s, you know? Like they've always been the heaviest thrash band on the planet, you know? And that's why people love them, you know? Like there's a beauty to that, of course, I'm a huge fan of progression and changing your sound over time to fit your needs, but I can also super get down with people that can sound the same no matter what, man. Like, that's why I'm such a huge Fu Manchu fan, is because the 90s sound the same as the 2000s, sound the same as the 2010s. Like, those guys are just still driving bad cars, going to the beach, surfing, crashing dirt bikes, whatever they're doing, like, that's them, you know? So, I gotta love that. I gotta respect that.
My last two times driving to the beach house, I listened to newer projects of Deftones, and it mellowed out, but it's awesome. It's awesome.
The newer Deftones records, like, they're definitely more chill, but every record seems to have like at least one or two songs where they catch you with it, and you're just like,
oh yeah, yeah, for
like
sure.
They can still bang, you know. You're just like, oh no, you know.
Yep.
And for S and the G's, Limp Bizkit. I think it came out in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. But it was consistent Limp Bizkit, man.
Yo, I don't know why Limp Bizkit seems to find its way into every single goddamn episode of this podcast, man. Like, nothing against you, Mr. Durst. Nothing against you and your team. But like, God, dude, like, I heard the new record, the one that just came out, the Dad Rock joint. We were playing it at the shop, man, and it's just like obnoxious, dude. It's just like, will, DJ Lethal, you know. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't, dude. I just can't. Yeah, I can't. I'm not 16 anymore, man. Like, I grew out of that, you know. I listen to vinyl now, Fred, you know.
Man, you're not even gonna give him that, bro.
Look, I respect the Dad Rock. I respect the pants. I respect the pants, bro. I do, but you're gonna have to grow up one of these days. You know?
Like I said, it wasn't gold album quality, but it was Limp Bizkit.
They still sound they reign supreme. You know, to someone, you know,
to someone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, guys, I need to roll out here in a minute because it's getting close to bedtime for the kiddos and my laptop's dying
all right,
soon.
Well, for next.
Go ahead, Tez. Preach, man. What you got?
No, I was just going to say, I was going to give a preview into our next episode, which should be a special guest DJ. Shit.
First critique, gotta work on that name.
DJ Urban Cowboy. DJ Urban Cowboy. Yeah. So we're gonna discuss some DJ topics with him, shows, you know, sounds. Man, I'm interested to see how they come up with half of the stuff they come up with, because I've never understood the mind of a DJ. Like, how do you know to turn that treble down at that one perfect moment, then let it build right back up, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
bring it down.
That'll be really cool, man.
When it, like, that's crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, look, man, I love you
Another
guys.
Another one in the books.
Jay, I hope love that you, I hope that this episode actually went through.
It says that it's recording, and it's been recording for an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, be careful with your fingers. All right. Cool. All right? Be careful with your fingers, cool. Man. All right.
Right. I think he over there pushing shit now.
Okay. Hey. Hey. We love you guys. Peace out. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for rocking with us. Support cystic fibrosis. We appreciate y'all. Love y'all.
Later.
Peace.
And that's it for this episode. Make sure you come back in a couple weeks for our interview with DJ Urban Cowboy. And in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, all of our social media is linked below. So come on by and say hi. Thanks for listening.